This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Well, Hoop Bowl Lakers family, the first month of the season is finally in the books. Man, that first month took forever. Your defending champion Los Angeles Lakers are tied with the best record in the league at 13-4 with those pesky Los Angeles Clippers. We'll take a look at the rest of the conference standings later in this episode. Not much has changed for the Lakers in the last week. They remain undefeated on the road with 9 straight victories in opposing arenas. Some criticism that's been laid upon these Lakers is that the schedule has maybe been a little easy, with their most difficult game being against the Clippers, and that being one of their few losses. However, they did face a difficult test this week in Milwaukee, taking on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks after a hard loss against the Golden State Warriors, and there was a lot on the line for that game, even early in this season. There was the undefeated record on the road, facing the defending MVP / Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's the desire to not lose 2 games in a row, which they still haven't done during Anthony Davis's tenure as a Laker. All of that going into a big matchup against the Bucks, and the Lakers absolutely smashed Milwaukee defensively. They forced Giannis into 9 of Milwaukee's 14 turnovers. LeBron James led the effort with 34 points. Anthony Davis didn't have an impressive stat line to look at it, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. However, although the 6 assists is actually pretty impressive, this offensive scheme, Anthony Davis has actually been getting a few more assists lately. I'll go over those numbers here in a second, but for this game, we'll continue. He had 2 blocks and 1 steal against Milwaukee, but the star, aside from LeBron's 34 points, the absolute star in this game against Milwaukee, it was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He continues to be insanely hot from three-point land, shooting 7 for 10 in this game. He went for 23 points, got 3 rebounds, only got 1 block, was plus 8 in plus-minus. But defensively, I mean, his impact was there. Playing the passing lanes, playing the running lanes, the Lakers would get steals from those 9 of those 14 turnovers from Giannis, and they were running the breaks. And yeah, Kentavious, 7 for 10 from 3. When you're shooting that well, you just got to keep feeding him. And yeah, it's been absolutely great to see. Dennis Schroeder didn't have a very good game that one, although that's not too surprising because Drew Holiday is actually a really good defensive point guard. And I mean, there are going to be times where Schroeder's offensive impact isn't going to be as needed, you know, there. I think in this one, he sort of helped cancel out Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday, you know, he had 22 points. Guarding opposing point guards has kind of been a problem for this Lakers team. But yeah, Schroeder didn't have much of an impact in this game, but he didn't have a negative impact either, so that's good. But yeah, Kentavious. KC3, as he's beginning to be known around the league, he's just having an insane season. So for this season, 10.7 points per game, but here are the numbers that are going to be really important for him. 55.6 58% from the field from three, 54.5% from regular field goals, 92% free throw. That's right. KCP is having a 50-40-90 season. It's just insane to see. Doesn't really, I don't think, make him eligible for most improved player or anything like that. That tends to go to players who are less seasoned in the league. But for KCP on his contract to be turning in a 50-40-90, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. An effective field goal percentage of 71%. For those that don't know, an effective field goal percent adjusts for the fact that the three-point goal is worth one more point than a two-point field goal. It's sort of a newer statistic. It's one of those... it basically kind of balances out where all of your shots are coming from. But because he's shooting so well from three-point shots, his effective field goal percentage is damn near 72%. Anytime KCP shoots, it's at the point now where you expect any shot that he shoots to go in. And that used to not be the case, especially early in the season. There have been times where he was kind of streaky, but he's just playing absolutely out of his mind this season. Improved shooting is actually an improved or a continued trend with another Los Angeles Laker who's gotten an absurdly high effective field goal percentage as well. Also shooting around 56% from three and at almost 18 minutes a game. And it is our guy, Alex Caruso. To look at his stat line again, it's sort of the thing about his whole career. 5.5 points, nothing to really sneeze at there. 1.1 steals, although in 17 minutes it's pretty good. His per 36 numbers, 11 points per game. Two steals, 4.6 assists, five rebounds. Caruso is getting it done on the defensive end as well as on the offensive end this year, and that's been great to see. His plus-minus numbers with LeBron continue to be among the very best in the league. That pairing is not a fluke. LeBron and Caruso play really well together. Really well. You would definitely be in a position where had the Lakers not signed Dennis Schroeder, Caruso could be in the starting lineup. And if you get a starting lineup of Alex Caruso, KCP, paired with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and yeah, let's say we kept the Marcus Gasol signing. Marcus Gasol offensively has actually been a shining light again, despite his unimpressive stat line. Anytime he gets the ball up at the high post, someone's going to make a back cut and he's going to find him for an easy layup. That's just been happening 2, 3, 4, 5 times a game. But yeah, Alex Caruso and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope are the anchors of this team defensively, despite the fact that both LeBron and AD could both be vying for Defensive Player of the Year. Talked a little bit last time about how Stats LLC pointed out that LeBron is having an absolutely stellar defensive year. And ever since that tweet has come out, I've been paying a little bit more attention to LeBron defensively. And yeah, people just don't score on him. I don't know what it is. I don't know why he's exerting the kind of effort he is. I don't know if less minutes allow him to play that kind of defense. But yeah, I mean, I really do hope that LeBron starts to garner some Defensive Player of the Year votes, because although he's not getting a lot of blocks, he's not getting a lot of steals, he's doing the analytical things that defensive players do, the things that Draymond Green does that have gotten him Defensive Player of the Year awards. Man, I feel like I've gotten on a whole bunch of different tangents with this Milwaukee Bucks game, because this Milwaukee Bucks game was actually just a really great game to watch. It was a really complete effort start to finish for the Lakers. They got out to a lead at half, let the lead slip in the first quarter a little bit, but man, just overall, Milwaukee had nothing for this team. They had nothing for KCP. I don't know how you scout against KCP, because he's not the focal point of the offense. If you want to stop the focal point of the offense, you stop LeBron or you stop AD, but all they're going to do is look for open shooters. And the Lakers this season are making tons of threes. So I really don't see how you would scout against you know, anyone on this team. So this Milwaukee Bucks team, yeah, this game was an absolutely great game. holding Giannis to just 25 points, a dozen rebounds, all that stuff, that looks impressive. But to really watch the game is how you know how suffocated he was. The 9 turnovers were huge. He just wasn't very effective. He was minus six in that game, despite the fact that it was only a 7-point victory. Yeah, none of the starters from Milwaukee had a positive plus minus except for Dante DiVincenzo. You factor in that Giannis played 35 minutes of that game. Yeah, it was a complete dismantling of that Milwaukee Bucks team. They're a little bit on the disappointing end of the spectrum this season in the East. I think they're still going to come out and do very well, but the East is definitely much tougher, and you know, I don't see an MVP run in Giannis this season. Just saying. The Lakers continued the East Coast road trip with an easy victory over the Chicago Bulls. They beat the Bulls by 2 last time they played in the Staples Center, but this time KCP and Alex Caruso were back in the lineup, and that defensive improvement was daunting. They cruised to a 30-point lead at halftime. They let it slip a little bit before the second unit took over in the fourth quarter, allowing LeBron and AD to only play 28 minutes apiece for some in-game load management. You absolutely love to see that. And, yeah, the rest of that box score, I mean, it's hard to really kind of, you know, they ended up winning by 11. So, yeah, they definitely let that lead slip. Huge game for Anthony Davis in only 28 minutes. He went back home to Chicago, where he's from, where some people thought he might have, if he was going to leave the Lakers, was going to go to Chicago. I bet the people in Chicago weren't too happy to see that he scored 37 points in 28 minutes. 2-for-3 from 3, shot 9 free throws. Got a block, got a couple steals. Just a really great game for Anthony Davis. LeBron, in his limited minutes at 28, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, so he had a really great game. Pretty balanced effort from the rest of the team. 10 points from Montrez, 10 points from Talen. KCP kind of came down to earth a little bit, shooting 1-for-3 from 3. Yeah, but this game was actually more of a inside dominant game. They only made they shot 4-for-19 from 3. The fact that they shot that poorly but led by 30 at one point, pretty amazing. Yeah, that's kind of your typical Saturday night blowout game. Nobody had a really outstanding performance other than Anthony Davis with his 37. You know, Chicago did kind of expose one of the weak points of the Lakers' defense, Zach LaVine. You know, opposing shooting guards and point guards and scoring point guards against this Los Angeles Lakers team, they're going to score. Zach LaVine led the Bulls with 21, got 10 rebounds. So, yeah, that does make you think that Brooklyn could potentially be a problem down the road. The fact that guards score so easily on this Lakers team, but in the end, it comes down to 4 out of 7. And the way the Lakers are playing now, it's going to be really hard to beat this team 4 out of 7 times. And that's just going to kind of keep continuing to be the theme of this season and kind of how we feel about the Lakers' championship chances. 4 out of 7 is going to be really hard to do against this Los Angeles Lakers team, especially when they can turn it on defensively seemingly at any moment. And any moment, you never know when KCP is going to decide to go 7-for-10 from 3. How do you stop that? You just can't.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. Did you know the first oil well was drilled almost 1,700 years ago? The first American well was drilled in Pennsylvania in 1859, and the Texas oil boom began in 1901, when the Lucas Gusher produced an astonishing geyser that flowed for 9 days. This oil boom helped launch the widespread use of the automobile and grease the wheels of the modern machine age. Today, the U.S. is the world's top producer of oil and gas, supporting 11 million jobs and contributing $2 trillion to the American economy. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
All right, so we'll just go ahead and make this a regular segment of the podcast. Every episode, it kind of seems to come up, and I think the fact that there's a need for it to come up every episode is probably not a great sign. I think I've alluded to that before, but yeah, let's go over Kyle Kuzma and see how he's done this past week. And yeah, I would say he hasn't had the greatest last couple of games, despite how great overall that Milwaukee game was. He only had 5 points and 5 rebounds in it. Same for the Chicago Bulls, that dismantling. He played roughly the same minutes, played 22 minutes in both games. Had 4 points against the Bulls, also 5 rebounds. He's been rebounding at a really impressive clip when he gets the minutes. And yeah, the effort for rebounding is definitely there. And so he's having a positive impact defensively. That can't be understated. That's going to be the more important part of his role for this team, is to have a positive impact defensively, and he has been. And so in that sense, he's had a pretty good week. But if you're going to be one of those people that kind of looks at stat lines and wants him to impress that way, I just don't think you're going to see it from Kyle Kuzma. I don't think you're ever going to see it. Whether or not that satisfies you as a fan, you kind of have to take that up with yourself. I think he's been playing pretty well. I like the impact he's been having. I'm happy to see what he's been doing for the Lakers team this season. So as for the rest of the upcoming road trip, the Lakers do have five more road games. They don't play back in Los Angeles until February 4th. But we will recap the next couple of games. I'll preview the next couple of games, excuse me. So tonight, as of this posting, the Lakers do play the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. Always an interesting game to watch when LeBron goes back to Cleveland to see how, well, there's no fans, but to see, you know, how he is received in Cleveland. I think it's been a little bit more positive since the 2016 championship. He tends to play pretty well in Cleveland. But some things to look for in this game. We've already talked about how opposing backcourts tend to score pretty easily on this Los Angeles Lakers team, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have a point guard, a sophomore point guard, in Colin Sexton, who is having an absolutely fantastic week. Cleveland is fresh off of 2 back-to-back victories against the Brooklyn Nets since they've gotten James Harden. Colin Sexton, and he's in his third year. Excuse me, I thought he was in his second year. Colin Sexton, he dropped 42 on the Brooklyn Nets on January 20th, and then 25 2 days later against the Brooklyn Nets to beat them in both games. He's been on an absolute tear this season. There actually hasn't been a game up until Cleveland lost to Boston last night. With the exception of that one game, Colin Sexton, every game that he's played in this season has been a 20-point scorer. Although he had, you know, the 42 against Brooklyn, he's got 32 against Detroit. But Colin Sexton is averaging 25.5 points per game this season. He is absolutely on fire. And he is a force to be reckoned with. His nickname is Young Bull, and I definitely understand it. after seeing him these last couple of games. He doesn't just score. He gets assists. He gets rebounds. He kind of does it all. Shoots a decent clip from three. Shoots about 45%, so more than decent. I would expect Colin Sexton to have a pretty good game. But beyond that, I don't think it should be a difficult game for the Los Angeles Lakers. The front court is manageable, despite the fact that Andre Drummond is as great as he is. I think he's sort of on the outs with Cleveland since they've traded for Jared Allen. I think either him or JaVale is going to be on the outs. And, you know, if the Cleveland waves JaVale, you definitely have to look for him to come back to the Lakers in some form. That'll be great to see. Then they have another big game against a Eastern Conference playoff favorite, Philadelphia 76ers. That one shouldn't be as much of a problem. Ben Simmons isn't scoring very much this season, but Philadelphia is playing pretty well overall. Joel Embiid is playing great this season. He's averaging 27.7 points per game, grabbing almost 12 rebounds. He's been playing really well, shooting 40% from three this season. Joel Embiid is having an absolutely great year, an MVP-type season. You know, if Philadelphia were to end up on top of the conference, where they currently sit, is on top of the conference. They're at 12-5. They're the best team in the East, two games above Milwaukee. And so, yeah, Philadelphia is definitely a team to be reckoned with, and that is going to be another important game to look for. The road trip will continue after that with road games in Boston, Detroit, and Atlanta. Detroit, Boston, and Atlanta. I messed up the order there. Before the Lakers do come back on February 4th against the Denver Nuggets. So they'll be on the road for a little while longer. We'll probably post a couple of more episodes in between that time. So we'll update and preview games before they happen. So before when the next episode does air, I think Ethan might record another solo episode. Yeah, look forward to the Lakers playing the Cavaliers and the 76ers. Cavaliers should be an easy win. 76ers should be a tougher matchup. I'd imagine that one is going to be, if it's on Wednesday, it might be an ESPN game. And so national TV implications. Look forward to that. But yeah, we've talked a little bit about it. Let's take a look at the rest of the standings. So Philadelphia is on top of the East, and Milwaukee is number two. And so if the Lakers can come out of this road trip having beaten, and Boston is number three. So, you know, despite what happens against Detroit or Atlanta, if the Lakers can come out of this road trip having beaten the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics, they'll have beaten the top three teams in the East on the road. And that'll definitely make them a force to be reckoned with throughout the rest of the league. They already are tied with the best record. But the Clippers are coming for them. The Jazz are coming for them. They're right on the Lakers' heels. And then, of course, on the East, we've talked about Milwaukee and Philadelphia already. In that fourth seed, you've got the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers, I think, are going to have a rough time the rest of the season. Unfortunately, they traded away Victor Oladipo for Caris LeVert, and Caris LeVert, in his physical on his trade, they discovered a mass in his kidney, and hopefully he recovers and it's not anything too dangerous to worry about, but he is out indefinitely and probably won't be back this season. Brooklyn is sitting on that fifth seed, and you don't know where Brooklyn is really going to end up. They improved offensively a ton with the addition of James Harden, but the first two games against Cleveland have shown that defensively this Brooklyn team lacks a lot. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to give up even more points. And so I really don't think Brooklyn's going to end up being anything to worry about, in my opinion. But other people seem to think that the James Harden trade sort of vaulted them to the top of the East, and I don't see it. Cleveland. I've actually talked last episode about how Cleveland is a surprisingly good defensive team. They're a really fun team to watch. They're young. They play with a lot of effort. They're sitting on that sixth seed right now, tied at 8-8. I think a lot of people are happy to see that. I'm
really happy to see Cleveland succeed. I, you know, liked everything I saw from that organization post, you know, when LeBron came back. I like how they've drafted since LeBron has left. Atlanta at 8-8, they're starting to improve a little bit. They were a little bit on a downturn, and yeah, they're good to see. The Knicks, 8-10, currently holding on to that 8 seed. Kind of surprising to see the Knicks in there. But it's only really surprising when you factor in that even further down this list, after the Knicks, you've got Chicago at 7-9, Charlotte 7-9. Here's where it gets surprising. Toronto, 7-9, holding on to that 9th seed. Out on the outside looking in. Toronto obviously lost a lot defensively when they lost Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Didn't appear that they would lose that much, but it, I guess those players were more impactful than people suspected. Orlando at 7-10 seems about right. Miami at 6-9. So a lot of people think because of the bubble, because of the, you know, COVID and all the situations, Miami was a little bit of a fluke last season. I think this year they're just contending with a lot of injuries. A lot of players are sitting out. Players have been out due to contact tracing, things like that. I mean, it's tough to see Miami struggle, especially coming off of winning the Eastern Conference last season. At this point, I think there's going to be too much ground to try to make up. And the way they've been playing, I don't see how they can make that ground up. But, I mean, they definitely should be a playoff team. Washington, Detroit. Yeah, that's about where they're going to be. Washington, Detroit, Sacramento are going to be your worst teams in the league. But, yeah, over to the West. Lakers, Clippers at top. Like I said, 13-4. Utah nipping at our heels at 12-4. Portland with that number 4 seed. Portland is one of the few Laker losses at 9-6. Denver at 9-7 with that 5 seed. Memphis starting to come up with that with Ja Morant back from injury at 7-6 with that 6 seed. Phoenix holding on to the bottom of the playoffs, kind of like we thought they would at 8-7. Devin Booker not having a great season. Ethan talked a little bit about that, but Phoenix overall is. DeAndre Ayton's playing a little bit inconsistently lately. The Spurs in the playoff mix. Kind of surprising. Although, not really that surprising when you think about how great of a coach Greg Popovich is. Spurs at 9-8. Golden State Warriors at 8-8. They're starting to improve overall. Draymond is definitely helping out their defense. Although, without Klay Thompson, I just don't see it. Dallas is disappointing a little bit at 8-8, but Kristaps is back, and so maybe you'll start to see that improve. Houston made a good move in getting Victor Oladipo, but I think at this point there's too much ground to make up, and I don't see them finishing out in the playoffs. They have the same record as OKC at 6-9. Sacramento at 6-10 is not the worst team in the West right now, but they are the absolute worst team in the league, trust me. They're terrible defensively. They're one of the historically worst defensive teams in the history of the league. The only reason why they have a slightly better record than New Orleans and Minnesota is because they have a really good offense, and De'Aaron Fox is playing amazing this season. Rounding out the bottom of the West, we've got New Orleans at 5-10, and Minnesota at 4-11. I don't know what to say about New Orleans. I don't know why they're this disappointing. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I didn't think they would be one of the worst teams in the league, but they are. I like Stan Van Gundy. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a good fit for this team. But, yeah, that is going to about do it for the entire league playoff standings. So yeah, to recap, look forward to the Lakers playing the Cavaliers and the Sixers this week. Should be a 1-1 week. You know, that Sixers game could go south. As great as it would be to see them beat the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics in this road trip, to go that 3-0, probably a lot to ask for this Lakers team. They should easily beat the Cavaliers. I can't say they would easily beat the 76ers, despite the fact that they have the advantage of a low-scoring backcourt. But until then, follow me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. You can follow Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Follow the show at Hoopball Lakers. And until then, you're out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you can earn 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks on your cash until you're ready to invest. The Cash Account grows your money with no account maintenance fees and free instant withdrawals whenever you need it. Money works better here. Go to Wealthfront.com to start saving and investing today. Cash Account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change, and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY.